Well, after the wonderful, joyful celebrations of Christmas Day and surrounding it, we come to what seems something of a puzzle. Jesus and his parents are forced to flee away to Egypt because King Herod had learned of the birth of Jesus and wants to kill him. Why? Well, from what we know of Herod, he was insanely jealous of his power. He was a ruthless man, just like so many others of his time, who would stop at nothing to get his own way. It seems that he killed his own wife and several of his sons, along with many other authorities who he wanted to be rid of. One source suggests that he gave orders for as many as 30 political members to be killed at the moment of his death. Some suggest he wouldn't have been so cruel as to have babies killed. But from what we know of the man, I believe it did happen just as the way we're told in Scripture. There was no way he was going to allow anyone, even a baby, to get in his way. However, God stepped in and warned Joseph and Mary to go to Egypt in order to keep Jesus safe. And it seems then that the family lived on in Egypt for a number of years until Herod died, and suggestion is around about 4 BC, before returning to Nazareth in Israel. So what does all this mean for you and me? You and I live in this world that God has created. The book of Genesis tells us that is how we got here, and God had a plan in mind for us to be his people. Pardon me. Unfortunately, Genesis 3 relates to us the fall of man, that through the temptation of Satan and then the sin of Adam and Eve, we lost our relationship with God. What God created good, man spoiled and caused us to be separated from our Creator. However, we all know from Scripture that God's plan was to restore us to himself through his Son Jesus. So any wonder at the opposition? When Jesus was born and King Herod heard about him, he was in charge and he certainly didn't want anybody to usurp his authority. Christmas is the celebration of that historic moment in time when God, in the person of Jesus Christ, stepped out of heaven onto earth for the purpose of saving mankind from sin. And these past days, Christians across the world have celebrated this very fact. However, today's gospel story reminds us that we Christians have an enemy, the same enemy as God himself, Satan, and he wants to see us destroyed. And when we understand this, it helps us to know that being a Christian is not just some nice thing people do. Rather, it's something of vital importance in God's plan for this world and something we need to know and to understand. Salvation is a free gift of God. It comes to us through faith in Jesus, whose sacrifice fully paid for our forgiveness and reconciliation with God. There's not a single thing you and I can do about to bring about our salvation. Our role is simply to believe in Jesus, as we sang earlier on this morning. However, from the moment we believe and accept Jesus as our Saviour, each of us must make a choice. Will we follow Jesus, or just coast along doing what we want? Jesus never painted a rosy picture when he called people to follow him. He stated quite plainly that becoming his follower would require self-denial and sacrifice and also include suffering. Not a great sort of invitation, is it? Following Jesus means that he directs our life. We give up our rights to do whatever we want and instead submit to his will, even when it is difficult or doesn't align with our preferences. However, if we don't realise or understand how good, how loving and wise our God is, walking in his will may seem scary or even foolish. We have someone in God who is determined to see us secure and safe from the enemy's plan for our destruction. Wouldn't it make sense to want to follow him and hold on to him? Someone who will lead us through every situation that comes against us if we will entrust ourselves into his care. Selwyn Hughes, you may know the name, Selwyn Hughes, he wrote Every Day with Jesus for 40 years or more. made this comment. If we are honest, there are times when it seems less like God's world than the devil's world. Some believe that God has been excluded from his own world by the concerted efforts of the devil and sinful men and women. Now, I'm sure many of us would have had such thoughts recently at the Bondi events when they happened. How could that sort of thing happen, and even here in Australia? But it points out the resistance that there is to God, and again highlights the story of Jesus and going to Egypt with his parents to be away, but God was in charge. So that was absolute evil on display, that Bondi happening. However, it only seems that way in the sense God is still in control. Jesus entered this world of pain and suffering. He became flesh, just like us, you and I. He overcame its frailty. He grew and struggled with the same problems that we face. Before he died for us on the cross, he stated this message for his followers. He said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Always remember, you personally were dear enough to God for the Saviour to be born and come into this world to bring salvation. The message of Christmas is a message of love. We've heard it so many times. God so loved us that he sent his son into the world in order to save it. It blows your mind when you think about it and endeavour to try and comprehend it. You and I are part of his plan, and we can be thankful for all that he has done for us. But in return for what he has done for us, he calls on us to believe him, to believe in his son, to praise him, to acknowledge him, and to give thanks to him, just as we heard in that psalm and in the song we had this morning. The psalm today calls us. He calls upon all creation to give thanks and praise to God. Praise from the Lord from the heavens, it says. Praise the Lord from the earth. Let all praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and the heavens. And we might recall that Jesus said of himself, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There are many religions in the world, but there is only one right way. It's not a religion, but it's a personal relationship with the Son of God. Hostility to God isn't new. Herod was angry when his position and power was threatened by the birth of Jesus. He didn't want another king to dethrone him. Perhaps one of the main reasons today that people resist Jesus is that they don't want to lose control. You and I, I'm sure, have experienced that in our own lives. They don't want someone else running their lives. But I believe that God's word shows us that we live in a world that offers two ways to live: our way or God's way. The choice is ours to make, and it can often be a difficult thing to do. Jesus came to save us and to show us the way. We're called Church of the Way. It's the way that Jesus wanted to show us. Pressure to conform to the world's ways, pressure from family and friends, our own fleshly desires, and temptation from the devil are bound to come against us. But God's word confirms that his desire is that none should perish, but that all may come to have eternal life. He wants the best for us all, and he has made it very clear that only making Jesus the centre of our lives, as we sang earlier on, are we able to achieve this. Peter wrote in the book of 1 Peter 1, "All honour to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus rose again from the dead. For God has preserved a priceless inheritance for his children." That's us, that's you and I, children of God. "It's kept in heaven pure and undefiled for us. In this we greatly rejoice, even though for a little while we may experience various trials in order to prove our faith. Though you have not seen Jesus, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you rejoice and the salvation of your souls. That's the future hope that we have in Christ. It overcomes all other things. Peter reminds us, Christians, just who we are in the Lord. He says, believers are chosen in Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ is offered to all humanity. Salvation is for everyone who received Jesus as Saviour through an act of free will. So he doesn't force us, he invites us to be accepting of him. The bottom line is that God wants fellowship with you. The Lord is not being slow but patient, said Peter. He's giving more time for everyone to repent and come to him. Secondly, believers are blessed to receive mercy. We are saved through the mercy of Christ alone. God loved us so much that he made a way for a relationship with him forever. The book of Titus says God saved us, not because of the good things we have done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins and gave us new life through the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, says Peter, believers are protected. Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Those who fear him. It's a sense of understanding just who he is. We've heard in the readings this morning, we've sung about the fact that God is God. God is above all things, in all things and through all things. He alone is worthy of praise. It's all about him. We believers are so well guarded that the only way our life can be touched by hardship is if God allows it. Sometimes the Father allows his children to walk through dark valleys, but ever the protective shepherd, he stays by their side. And we know that from Psalm 23. He promises to be with us and alongside of us no matter what. Peter's message is simple. When you go through trying times, don't be afraid. And I'm sure we all encounter difficult times in life. Focus on who you are in Christ. It's not what you've done, but what Christ has done and caused us to be. We are forever in Christ if we take hold of him and accept him. You have reason to be bold because you're a chosen, beloved and well-protected child of God. What a wonderful promise that is. I don't know what sort of year you may have had. Perhaps 2025 has been a good year, or perhaps not so good. Either way, our loving God promises that he will be with us no matter what comes our way. And as we approach the new year of 26, we're reminded that God has a plan for every single one of us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to love him. And he wants us to follow him faithfully because he cares for us. Peter just reminded us of the position we hold if we are believers in Jesus. Now you may be here as a true believer, or you may be here as an observer, or someone searching for God. Whatever your position, I really want to encourage you today to look to Jesus as your saviour and friend. No one will ever love you more than he does. No matter how much you may love parents, friends, others, husbands, wives, God loves us beyond that love. It's most incredible. One of the most difficult things for me in earlier years, in years gone by, to accept that somebody loved me more than my wife. But it's true. He wants the very best for you. And that best is a living relationship with him. As I thought about today and what it was that God would have me bring to you, I believe I can offer no better thing or greater thing than an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. You may be a faithful and committed church member. However, if you've never offered yourself to God and asked Jesus to be your Lord and Saviour, I want to encourage you to be bold today and to do just that. It took me 34 years of church attending before it actually happened for me. I thought I knew God. I knew about God, but I didn't actually know him. And at the age of 34, God sovereignly jumped into my life, turned my life totally around. And I had been a faithful church attender all those 34 years. I hadn't come to a point of understanding that I needed personally to accept Jesus as my Saviour. And again, I knew about him. I went to Sunday school. I learned about him. I went to church. I learned about him. But I didn't actually know him. And Jesus said, unless you are born again, you cannot see the things of the kingdom of God. And I can tell you, at that very time, at the age of 34, I was truly born again and began to see who Jesus really was and turn my life totally around. It's the reason I stand before you today, because I believe God led me in that direction. So if you believe Jesus is the Son of God and that he came to save the world from sin and separation from God, then I give you an opportunity today to reach out with a sincere heart to offer yourself to him in this following prayer. Commonly called the Sinner's Prayer, provides an opportunity for you to step into God's kingdom if you haven't done so before. What I would like to do is for all of us to recite this prayer together and say it from our hearts. I invite you all to follow me in this prayer. Let's pray it together. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died on the cross for me, and then rose from the dead to eternal life. Please forgive me. I now invite you to come into my heart and my life today to be my personal Lord and Saviour. And I thank you. Amen. Jesus loves us and by his blood has freed us from our sins. God's love is ever present and he has freed believers from their past. Sins, penalty and power have both been broken by his sacrifice. And when we're aware of such love, we surely cannot help but be excited about the relationship we have with God and want to spend more time with him. Loving Jesus and knowing the experience of his love, we can't help but want to share that joy with others. Jesus calls us to be his witnesses. And the natural outworking of our relationship with him will be our desire to know him, for others to know him as we do. And you will know that the preference of Church of the Way has always been to know Christ and to make him known. If you've offered that prayer in sincerity today, I have no doubt that God has heard you and answered you. Speak to a trusted friend about your decision today. It's an exciting decision. And my prayer for you today is that you will know and love him, the Lord Jesus, with all of your heart from this moment forward, now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we are a blessed people. We have you as our Lord. We have you as our God, the God of this world, the creator, the maker of all things, and even the creator of us, Lord. We're here because you designed us to be here. How amazing that is. And Father, your love is unbounding. You so loved that you gave your only Son for each one of us. And Father, when we come to an understanding of that, it just blows us away in a sense. How could we people be so loved by you that you're prepared to give your Son for us? And yet you did. So, Father, we want to thank you today. And Lord, I want to praise you and thank you, especially for any who may have made a commitment to you this day. Lord God, I know that your promise is to be with us, to lead us and to guide us and to direct us in your path. Above all, you look upon our hearts, Lord. And Father, as you look upon the hearts of all of those here gathered today, I pray that you would touch each one, Lord, with that special awareness of just who you are. That you would shower them with your love. And I thank you that your promise is that when we do this, you will send Holy Spirit to be with us and in us to guide and direct us. That's your promise, Lord Jesus. So, Father, I commit brothers and sisters to you now. Commit us all to you, Father, as we face this new year of 2026. I pray that as we go forward, we will go forward in faith with you. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.